Welcome to episode 519 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy and Lindsay. Norway is a destination full of charm, including its famous fjords, Viking legends, thriving cultural heritage, and quaint fishing villages. From north to south, it is a nature lover's paradise that also boasts numerous trendy cities to explore. Whether you're exploring by boat, train, plane, or foot, a beautiful adventure awaits. Lindsay is here to share a few of her Norwegian explorations with us and hopefully inspire you to add Norway to your own bucket list. So let's get started. You were just like the Scandinavian queen here.
I love it. If I could move and not come back.
The question is the flight quicker to come across the U.S. or just go over Russia? From where you live, you got to be almost in the middle.
Yeah. From where I live, it probably would be faster.
It might.
I have a confession to make with this. So this trip was really part, it's always been on my bucket list, but it was bumped up because I saw this video about this ice music festival. Okay. On a frozen lake in a tiny little town that I cannot pronounce in the middle of Norway. And I just thought, well, I'm going to go do this.
So how much time did you have to add onto your trip to make sure you got this in?
I did, a week before I had to be over in Finland for a trip. Mm-hmm. So I went a week beforehand so I could go to this ice festival and explore Oslo. And then okay. left and went to Finland and then came back to Norway for another week and a half. So
why do you ignore Sweden?
I've been to Sweden many times, Sandy. I didn't.
Oh, really? Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And it's funny because my first night when I arrived in Oslo, I was walking around at night, and because I love exploring a city at night, and especially in the snow when the lights are all twinkly and it's just kind of quiet and everybody's sleeping and get the lay of the land for the city. This woman comes running up to me in Swedish and speaking to me. And I had to go, she hugged me and I had to go, oh, I'm sorry. She thought I was her neighbor. She's like, oh, sorry. I thought you were my old neighbor. No. I don't ignore Sweden. I love ABBA. We're going to get our first hate mail ever.
It's Lindsay at outlandertravel.com. Yeah. So do most Norwegians and Swedes all speak English?
Yes. Most Scandinavian.
Okay, that helps.
The people in the Scandinavian countries speak English. That does help. Does not help with the signs or with the bus or transportation schedules, which seem to be a mystery known only to locals. What in Norway, what is going on with these buses? Like, even none of the signage worked in the bus to tell you like where the stops were. Oh, and God. Norwegian is not really an easy language to understand.
What you hear them
say versus what you can see. So even if you know where you're supposed to get off, this is quite the adventure. And I do have, like, I have to poke fun at myself because Roald Alvinson said that there is no such thing as adventure, just poor planning. And this definitely, as much research as I put into this and as intricate as my transportation had to be to make mm-hmm. all of these moving pieces work on these tight little time schedules to do the trains and the fjord cruises and the other trains and all of that within the local buses. I had quite a few lessons.
Wow.
They were fun, but they were lessons.
So let's start off by talking about the Arctic bus Arctic route bus?
Yeah. So when I went back to Norway, I was coming from Finland and I was up in Rovaniemi and I took the Arctic route to Tromso. And it was one of the most beautiful, probably the most beautiful bus ride I've ever been on. Absolutely stunning. I was getting ready for this podcast. I was going through my pictures and my videos. I think I took like 200 videos from the bus. That's how stunningly beautiful this route is, especially in wintertime. And, you know, I timed it. So I was like right through sunset. It was just nice. It was gorgeous.
How far of a bus ride is that?
I want to say it's like 3 or 4 hours.
Okay, that's not too bad.
It wasn't too terrible. It was beautiful. And when I got to Tromso, it happened to stop it stopped right at my hotel, the hotel mm-hmm. I was staying at. So it was nice. Very
That's handy.
Yeah, that was pretty well planned.
Sure it was.
So, I travel poorly, so my clients do not have to. You would love this. I stayed at several of the nights I was there, I stayed at the Moxie.
Oh, cool.
And you would love this. I think this is the nicest Moxie I've ever been at.
Yeah.
The bar, restaurant, lobby area was on the top floor, and there was this walkout area where you could just look out all over Tromso. And so you can look out and see over the water, and it was beautiful. For a Moxie. It's pretty darn good. So in Tromso, there are tons of incredible museums. There's a Roald Albinson museum about the Arctic exploration. I went to the Troll Museum.
Oh, that's cool.
spent a lot of time walking around the older part of town. I did get to walk past the Hurdy-Gurdon office. Nice. And I went out to the port and I saw where the ships were docked.
Did you go to Arendelle?
I did. What? I did, actually. Yes. So that's later in my...
Oh, that's I was kidding. Okay.
I did. It was an unplanned stop in Arendelle. Well, and it wasn't really Arendelle. It's the town that inspired Arendelle. But normally you sail through it on the fjord cruise. But because there was ice in the water, I'm jumping mm-hmm. ahead of myself. We got to get out and take a bus from there to Voss. And everybody else was sad about it, but I was really happy because we got to get out and walk around in this town. I normally wouldn't have gotten to get out and walk around in on this cruise. And it's everything you'd imagine. It looks exactly like Arendelle.
Really? Oh.
Or I should say Arendelle looks exactly like this town. They really did just copy paste.
Did you have some Flemmy stew?
I did not have Flemmy stew. I did have some of the best beer that I've ever had in Tromso at Max and their oldest pub. It's actually the northernmost brewery in the world.
Cool.
A lot of history at the pub there. That was on my list and one of the reasons why I chose to spend some time in Tromso instead of just taking a cruise. I wanted to do the brewery tour. I wanted to go drink at the pub and I wanted to check out all these reindeer dogs all over Norway. Everybody's been talking about, cause you know, I love a good reindeer dog. So I had my first one in Norway, in Tromso.
So how did it compare to an Alaska reindeer dog?
I'm sorry, Norwegians, but Tia, y'all got nothing on Tia. I had three while I was there. And although one of them was very unique and good, it had like mm-hmm. lingonberry. It was in Bergen. Okay. It had lingonberry jam on it and mustard and like little crunchy onions. But none of them tasted anywhere near as delicious as Tia's. There's just something about that Alaska reindeer. Sorry. Well, now yeah, we're going to get hate mail.
Yeah. We just got back. And I was to say, Fox had reindeer every chance he got. So
yeah, I would only eat reindeer if I lived in Alaska.
Nice.
I've never had reindeer.
So So I enjoyed my time in Tromso. I went out to see, I went on a Northern Lights tour and I saw the Northern Lights.
Yay.
And we got to have like a campfire out on the water while we were waiting. It was so incredible. We got to see the Northern Lights while we were driving out. We pulled, and it's such a random thing. You don't know, you know, you get all the apps and you get the trackers and you're like, you know, it tells you go. If it's green, go. You have a really good chance of seeing them. But it really doesn't mean anything. It's like trying to get to see Denali. You know, mm-hmm. the mountain could be out or she'd be hiding. You know, it just, right. it is what it is. We got very fortunate. I got some incredible pictures. The tour company, I picked the right tour company. It was a smaller group. I was testing out the tour company and one of the, our guides was like a astronomer. So it was really cool. Got to hear about a lot of the legends and really knew his stuff. And that was wonderful. It was a good evening and got to leave Tromso knowing I'd already seen the Northern Lights. So that was really awesome. And from there, I flew to Bergen, and Bergen is such a cute, gorgeous little town. It's a lot of people visit it either on a one day cruise or it's the start of the end of your cruise. But I really think it deserves some time there. And I managed to time my visit to go to the local market. The local food market down by the water. Nice. And had, oh my God, I ate so many incredible things that I could not pronounce if I wanted to. They had homemade lefse there. They had just everything I wanted to take home with me was illegal to bring home.
Why?
I did get some griddled cheese I was able to smuggle through TSA, but a lot of it wasn't wrapped. You know, it's all meant to be fresh and consumed. Right. And this wasn't a tourist market. This was a local food market. And that's one of my favorite things to do anywhere I go is go eat like a local. And so I stuffed myself and brought it all home internally. Nice.
It's all there in my memories.
All there in my, carrying it on my thighs. I have my souvenirs. but this is such a gorgeous little town. Think Ketchikan, only on steroids. Just beautiful little mazes of walkways with these cute little boutique shops. All of the frontage, or what you call the building fronts, are this historic. I don't know what it's called. I'm so sorry. I can't remember what they're called, but they're beautiful and they all look the same. It's probably one of the most unique McDonald's I've ever seen. I didn't go to McDonald's, but I did walk by it. And there was a little walk-up window where you could walk up and order. And I thought that was hysterical.
They used to have that in Myrtle Beach.
Had some really great shilling. I fell in love with shilling bonds in Norway. And they're like cinnamon rolls, only a lot healthier for you is the lie I'm going to go with. Because they're not as full of bad sugar, high fructose corn syrup like we have in the U.S. Shilling's bonds were called they're like cinnamon rolls. And they're called shilling's bonds because they used to cost a shilling. But you can't find one for a shilling anywhere. You can find some pretty amazing ones at the airport, though. And I love them so much that because this was a split visit for me. When I flew from Oslo to Helsinki to go meet my friends, I took a whole bag of these shilling bonds and they stayed soft and fresh for like 5 days. It was crazy. I just could not believe. Normally the next day you'd be throwing a pastry out.
Yeah.
They were so good. So ate my body weight in shilling bonds. Let's see, what else did I do in Bergen? Went on a fjord cruise. That was wonderful. And I had surprisingly amazing weather. Out of a whole year, it normally rains 235 days a year in Bergen. Oh. So if you're in Bergen, you want a raincoat because most likely it's going to get a little damp. Mm-hmm. It didn't rain at all. Every day was sunny.
Nice.
Wow.
And I really shot myself in the foot because I picked this gloriously comfortable, luxurious hotel to stay in, and so I had, you know, the bed with the all the throw pillows that they karate chop, and so, you know, Like, beautiful view. I had a bottle of wine and real glasses in my room and a mini bar. And I was all set up to work all day if it was going to be rainy, too rainy to walk around. And here I had sunny days every day. So I had to go out.
That's a good way to guarantee that you'll have sunny days.
Plan so to get I had some to work for every day. Went up on the Floybon, one of the cable cars, up to the top of the mountain. You would love that, Sandy. There were a couple places where you could stop and walk up if you really want to kill yourself. That's an option for people with knees. And
you're remembering the old Sandy. This is not the new Sandy.
The new Sandy has appropriately aged knees now.
Yeah, exactly. My knees are not what the old Sandy knees were. Yeah.
But up at the top, they have another bakery, restaurant, bar, brewery. They have local beers on tap there. And one of the great breweries I found was, I think it's called Sevenfell. They make an alcoholic ginger beer that is so good. It's the smoothest, most delicious. And of course, Norway is going to have amazing beer. They've got clean water, just like Alaska. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wherever you find the pure, clean water, you're going to find delicious beer. And they definitely have it in spades there. So, and they had those hot, warm, fresh shilling buns. Of course, that's pretty much all I ate a lot of the time. If it was on the menu, I was getting it. Nice. So I went up there, and they had one of the cool things I saw in Norway was they had, you know, old phone booths. Instead of tearing them down, they turned them into little libraries, like honor system libraries where you just take a book, leave a book.
Nice. That's different.
There was one up there. It was cool. Really, it was a great use repurpose of these old relics. The phones might not work anymore, but they were still utilized. That's
a great use of books too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Nice. And it's a perfect spot. The view is so amazing, and I could easily see if I lived there, I would go up there all the time to work or to just hang out and read. And such another place where I took 200 videos and 1,000 pictures. Don't know what I'm ever going to do with them. So what else did I? Oh, when I left. Oh, go ahead.
Were you by yourself on this part?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I was completely on my own. I went from there. I was doing the Norway in a nutshell. I was recreating the Norway in a nutshell train to the fjord cruise and the Flåmsbanen, the iconic train, and then going back to Oslo. Because I had to continue on for another part of my travels, a specific date. So I pieced together my own version of the Norway in a nutshell, just to make sure that I could do it and get to see all of these iconic views from the train and to take the fjord cruise. And
so was the fjord cruise like a day cruise or?
It was a day cruise. Yes. Okay. And I did get cut a little bit short, but I'm not sad about it because, like I said, I got to go out and go see the town.
Yeah.
And then went on to Voss from there, where you can get Viking, you can do a Viking tour and do Viking dinner and had some Viking beer. And it was just a great
wear a Viking hat.
Buy lots of trinkets. And again, I forgot to mention, like, Bergen. Vikings are still plundering people, only they're doing it in the textile shops. So okay. I fell in love. There were so many beautiful cashmere wool sweaters that I encountered in my travels through Norway that I wanted, but they were all like $700 to $1,000. It was
ouch.
Here. Yeah.
So how many did you get?
I bought one. Nice. George. Actually, I ironically bought it. I bought a Nordic sweater for my husband at one of the museums, at the Arctic Museum in Finland. It was the cheapest price I found. And so I bought from the museum because the money goes to the museum. So I felt like that was a better, but it's not even for me, it's for him. So
that was nice of you.
Well, I mean, it's his heritage. So
is it? Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool. So you had mentioned that it's like reading the signs and stuff, though, is not easy.
Yeah. So public transportation in Norway is really meant for the public. I went out to... I'm gonna backtrack a little bit here. So for the first part of my trip, I started out in Oslo and spent a lot of time at the museums, mm-hmm. and went out to the Kon-Tiki Museum, which is just such an incredible experience. Even if you don't make it out there, looking up Thor and his whole, this guy just he could barely swim. He had no sailing experience, and he went out on this handmade raft that wasn't even tested to take this voyage from Europe to French Polynesia. He just, wow. All on it with this crew of people, of hodgepodge people. And the fact that they made it is just so incredibly inspiring. But then I spent, I think, a whole day in that museum. It was wonderful. And then the Fram Museum, if you're at all interested in Arctic expeditions and in the lifestyle that they had to live, and you get to go in and see the ship inside the museum and explore around in there, but walking around on all the floors in there, you could easily spend probably 2 days if you wanted to sit and read everything and watch everything and really absorb what it was like and how hard that was to survive and how many people didn't survive in the race to be the first explorer to reach the poles. So that, a lot of great museums. I went to the Nobel Peace Museum in Oslo, the Nobel Peace Center. That was incredible. Spent a whole day in there, just really walking around and absorbing, and one of the most incredible bookshops I've ever been in my life. I brought home books, and it was so silly because this is at the beginning of a 90-day trip for me, and I bought five books. I didn't carry them all with me, but they were all books I looked in. I couldn't order any of them on Amazon. I couldn't get them back on US Amazon. So I just did what you got to do to get them home.
Well, that's good that you supported a local bookstore.
Yeah, I always support local bookshops. But Oslo is a wonderful city, great city to spend time in. Very walkable. There's this incredible indoor food court, like street food. Mm-hmm. Oslo is actually called Oslo Street Food. And there's two of them, I think, there. And there's also a big focus on street food, which you know how much I love. You know how much I love that. I found a 24-hour kebab place that like saved my life one of the nights I was there because I spent so much time seeing things I forgot to go get something to eat. And I realized, oh gosh, I'm starving. I need to eat
I've something. Seen you do that, yeah.
So that tracks. I gotta get something late at night. So but the street food market was wonderful. I went back several times. It was so good. Lots to do, like, and Oslo is a great jumping off point. And so when I first started planning this trip, you know, originally I was just going to do Norway in a nutshell, and I looked at it, and I found that music festival. Mm-hmm. And it's such a unique thing. They build an ice igloo or an igloo out on a frozen lake.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done this all over the world, but they do it they started it in this tiny little town in Norway that I couldn't even say right now if I wanted to say it. I'll put it up in the show notes later, but it took forever to get there. It was such a crazy journey for me to get. I think I took 3 trains. The bus I bought a ticket for in advance wasn't running. So there was nothing online about the bus schedules online and the actual schedules in real life do not match up. Transportation's a little bit tricky in Norway. It's not like, so if you're used to German trains and buses and or any other European train, this is a completely different animal, transportation in Norway. So I will say that. But I took the most expensive taxi ride I've ever had in my whole life. It was $200 taxi ride to get out to this hotel, this local resort where this festival was. And the igloo this year, I think it held 25 or 30 people. I was the only American there. I might be the only American that's gone to this festival.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I thought you were going to say like 2,500 or 25,000. I'm like, people.
And oh so last God. Year, I think it only held like 20 or 15 or something. And they doubled the size. So it was like maybe 30 this time. And so
what kind of music is this?
Every night it was different. So they had some they had some beautiful musicians, singers come out. The only night I could work in my schedule to get out there, and the only night that did not have sold out tickets, it was animal sounds. It was like the tales from the animals. Okay. And so this is why I didn't post anything on Facebook, because people were taking it out of context. And they had this incredible man who is a native from the Tlingit tribe, which I'm going to say completely wrong, and I apologize. And he came out and he did these, you know, it was kind of really, it was a very magical moment to, you're hearing these songs that are inspired by these animal sounds, and there's firelight and there's shadow, the shadows going off behind him. And at one point it almost looked like a bear. And it was a really unique experience. And it's a very intimate experience, because you're in this igloo sitting on these benches made of ice with all these other people watching them play instruments made completely of ice.
Okay.
So all of the music, and I bought a couple CDs. I've seen a couple of the videos online. Very beautiful music, very peaceful, great for meditation, great for, I know I sound very woo-woo Washington-y. Maybe I've been out here too long. It's starting to affect me. But
maybe you need to start an igloo ice festival on Whidbey Island.
Really? He's done this all over the world. He did it. Yeah. And at first, I think it started as a way to bring awareness to climate change. It was part of you see in real time the effect that even just human body heat has. It starts melting these instruments. And I mean, this concert was maybe 25 minutes long. And I got to be honest, I paid more to go to this concert than most people paid for Taylor Swift concert tickets when you add up all the transportation and everything. For a 20 minute concert. But it was such a once in a lifetime experience. And when I left, they were interviewing people. When we were coming out of the igloo, they were interviewing people for news broadcasts. So some German reporter was interviewing me, and I said, "Oh, I don't speak, you know." And she's like, "You're American." I said, "So there's a really bad interview somewhere." She's like, "What did you think? What did you think of this?" I'm like, "It was very." I didn't know what to say. I was like, "It's very moving."
I really like the bear part.
But as cool as it was to me, going back and looking at all, because I didn't want to be rude and record the whole thing, so I recorded snippets, and just the snippets taken out of context. So I've got to find a way to present it and put it for people to look to listen to without it being taken out of context, because it was such a unique thing. And I would definitely go back and do it again, maybe on a night when there was a regular singer and not the animal folktales.
That's funny. I mean, I like it. Okay.
Yeah. And so I met, speaking of it, so I love traveling by myself. I connect with and meet all kinds of people, and from everywhere in the world, all walks of life. And it just happened. I had no idea when I went out to this concert how the heck I was going to get back to the train station in all. How am I going to get back to the train station? And the next train doesn't come until like 9 o'clock in the morning. And I met two ladies from Sweden at the concert who had a rental car, and they gave me a ride. We sat and we had drinks in the ski lounge bar area up in the resort. And then when they were leaving for the night, they offered to give me a ride to the train station. And so I got a ride to the train station and spent 4 hours waiting for the train.
Wow.
The next morning. But it was so worth it. I would do it again in a heartbeat. It was such a unique thing. Definitely. I just had to see, how do you play instruments made out of ice? It's such a fascinating
I think you need to find the schedule of where else they're going to be and maybe pop in for another one.
Go see it again. I definitely will. George, right. That's ridiculous.
It's a little crazy. Any last minute thoughts?
I love Norway. I cannot wait to go back. It is like walking into a postcard. I glossed over this when we were talking about other things, but it is one of the most beautiful places on this earth that I have seen with my own eyes. No filters needed whatsoever. Gorgeous country. Amazing, kind, intelligent people, wonderful culture, very thoughtful. Out in Oslo, there were protests for Ukraine and for Palestine, and they had opera singers coming out there to sing, and you could just hear it echoing through the street. It was one of those gorgeous things I've ever heard in my life. And there are coats hanging in places, and I thought, well, did someone leave a coat? No, they're coats that are out there in case somebody needs them. It's just an incredible place to visit, and I can't wait to go back probably in the summer months next time.
Cool. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Lindsay, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.